Speaking on this program is Brother Tony Lawrence.
And we invite your attention now for a few moments to the study of Song of Solomon, chapter 2. You see, I'm going to begin. The Song of Solomon is rarely studied, and I have rarely preached upon it. I think at least two or three times since I've been preaching now, 30 plus years, that I have preached a sermon from the Song of Solomon. In this text, if you study the Song of Solomon, the message of it is, there is the beloved, the groom, there is the Shulamite, who is the bride, and her brothers are making a comment that the foxes are spoiling the vines and the tender grapes are dying, and somebody needs to catch the fox. Sometimes we have little small foxes in our lives, and these foxes do a tremendous amount of damage to us spiritually. And so what I'd like for us to do tonight is there are six things that I have before you. For instance, a little laziness, a little folly, a little faith, a little love, a little leaven, and then finally the little tongue. And as we study about these little things, we recognize that just like those little foxes, though they may be small, they can have a tremendous impact on spoiling a crop. If you don't believe small things can have a tremendous impact, just wait till you get a little baby in your home. That baby takes over. It may be small, but you know that little things can have a tremendous impact. Let's begin, first of all, with a little laziness. And one thing that spoils our spiritual vine is just a little laziness. In Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 11, Solomon will talk about just a little laziness. And laziness can become progressively worse to a point where a person no longer even wants to feed himself. He becomes actually that lazy, according to Proverbs 19:24. And if a person maintains this pattern of laziness, pretty soon the house will begin to deteriorate, fall. Let's read, first of all, Proverbs chapter 6, verses 10 and 11. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall your poverty come like a prowler, and your need like an armed man. He said, just a little of this, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands. See, laziness can become a part of us, and it robs us. It can rob us spiritually just like it robs a man financially. I've always laughed at Proverbs 19:24. A lazy man buries his hand in the bowl and will not so much as bring it to his mouth again. I want you to visualize, here's a man who's got food in his bowl and he puts in, some of you may be that way tonight after service, put your hand to the bowl and then I just don't have enough energy. I don't have enough enthusiasm. No, we don't do that. But do you know, spiritually speaking, the same thing about eating and feeding ourselves from God's Word, hungering and thirsting after righteousness? Some people will put their hand to the Bible, but never read it, never study it. A little laziness. In Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 18, because of laziness, the building decays, and through idleness of hands, the house leaks. We could allow this building here to go unattended for some period of time, and pretty soon the roof would begin to leak. Pretty soon, and sometimes it does. And occasionally things will begin to fall apart. Laziness, spiritually speaking, can cause us to ruin our spiritual vine. A little folly. There's a time and a place for everything. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 and 8 says, to everything there is a season and a time. And then he goes on, he says, there's a time to be born and a time to die. There's time to plant, and there's time to pluck up that which is planted. And Solomon goes through a number of things, and there's a time to laugh, and there's a time to mourn. But as we will look in Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and verse 1, if a man is a wise man, and he starts demonstrating folly or foolishness in his life really begins to stink. And Solomon will put it in such vivid terms. Solomon addresses this folly on several occasions, and a little bit of foolishness can go a long way in making us look bad. Now let me carry through these passages. In Ecclesiastes 12:1, dead flies putrefy the perfumer's ointment and cause it to give off a foul odor. So does a little folly to one respected for wisdom and honor. The picture that you're to visualize in your mind is a perfumer. And he will take and mix various spices together to make a sweet aroma. You might put things like myrrh and aloes together, frankincense. And these spices would be mixed together just like people do today. But that sweet smell also can draw flies. And flies get in that ointment and die. And when they do, instead of that ointment giving a beautiful smell, gives a stench. And he said, so does a little folly to one respected for wisdom and honor. I remember my grandfather very vividly. Some people might have called him a hard man. But he would say to us grandkids quite often, you boys need to stop that foolishness. We'd laugh, we'd carry on, and he'd say, I told you boys, you need to stop that foolishness. And I remember thinking, Papa, you need to just lighten up some. But there's one thing about it. No one ever denied that he deserved respect and the wisdom that he had. He understood there was a time to laugh, but there's sometimes we ought not go too far. So let's go and look and see what Solomon says. A fool's lips enter into contention, and his mouth calls for blows. A fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul. A foolish man has to tell everything that's in his mind, and a few things that's not there. In chapter 14, verse 16, a wise man fears and departs from evil, but a fool rages and is self-confident. He thinks he already knows it all. He thinks he knows everything, and so he disdains others and says what he wants to say. In chapter 13, verse 16, every prudent man acts with knowledge, but a fool lays open his folly. He's just going to let everybody see everything. You know, there's a phrase that a person, it's better to be thought a fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubt. Sometimes we'd be better off to just be a little quieter. Let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Proverbs chapter 1, 19. Proverbs 29:9. If a man, wise man contends with a foolish man, whether the fool rages or lies, there is no peace. Your dealings with a foolish man will be such that whether he's happy or whether he's angry, you can't have any peace. Number three, a little faith can also cause the spoiling of a vine. Many vines are spoiled because they lack trust in God, lack of confidence in who God is and what God wants man to do. And so in Matthew 6 and verse 30, now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown in the oven, will He not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? In this passage from the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus was looking at people and who wouldn't trust God for their food, for their clothing, for their shelter. And they would look at God and they'd say, but we're worried about it. And God would say, no, you shouldn't be worried about it. I will provide for you just like I provided for the birds of the air. They don't toil nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your Heavenly Father feeds them. Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, and yet Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Oh, you of little faith. Matthew 8 and verse 26. Jesus was on the Sea of Galilee, and tremendous storm came up. The boat that they were in was beginning to be tossed about. I can visualize the fear of being out in the middle of that great lake and seeing that boat tossed to and out. And he said to them, why are you fearful, O you of little faith? Then he arose, rebuked the winds,
and the sea, and there was a great calm. You see, there was a picture here. It, all of a sudden, it just falls. Oh, you of little faith. The one who can raise the dead, who can multiply, turn water to wine, who can multiply loaves and fishes. Oh, you of little faith. Jesus can speak and it'll be done. Go over to chapter 14, verse 31. And Jesus comes walking to the disciples on the water. And as he nears the boat, Peter sees it's the Lord. And he says, Lord, bid me to come to you. And the Lord did. And Peter stepped out on the water. But as he began to see the waves crashing around him, he started to sink. And it says, and immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? Peter, you were walking on water. Why did you doubt? Jesus caught him by the hand. You see, this little faith can spoil our spiritual vines. In Matthew 16 and verse 8, but Jesus, being aware of it, said to them, O you of little faith, why do you reason among yourselves because you have brought no bread? That's after Jesus multiplied the loaves and the fishes. Are we going to have bread? Do we need to go get... Oh, you of little faith. Sometimes, when it comes to doing the Lord's will, we're people of little faith, of little confidence. We're not really confident that the Lord can and will do what He has said He will do. Paul would say in Philippians 4 and verse 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We've got to develop that confidence. In Hebrews 11 and verse 6, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Next is a little love. A little love. Jesus is going to talk about that in Luke 7 and verse 47. Some people do not appreciate what has been done for them because in their mind, the Lord has not really done so much for them. In their mind, the Lord has really had to stretch and forgive these heathens over here. The tax collectors, the sinners, the prostitutes. But to those people who thought that they walked circumspectly, they thought, we didn't have that much to be forgiven of. And these people needed to understand the importance of a full, open love. God expects us to love Him with all of our heart. How many spiritual vines have been withered because of a lack of love for God? Notice Luke 7:47. Jesus said, therefore I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. Simon, you need to understand, your view of yourself causes you not to love me like you ought to. Simon needed to learn. He was in need of forgiveness, and he ought to love the Lord greatly. In fact, Revelation 2 and verse 4, you read about the church at Ephesus. And this church was doing a lot of things, but the Lord says, nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. You don't love the Lord like you ought to. You have a little love for the Lord. Matthew 22:37, there was a lawyer came to Jesus. They asked Him the question, Master, what, or teacher, what is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. Really, you and I need to understand a little love can get us in tremendous trouble. This morning I talked about really loyalty of heart. And unless you love the Lord with a loyal heart, with all your soul, you're not going to give like you should. A little leaven. Leaven is a symbol of sin in one's life. And like leaven has literally a way of spreading in the dough, sin has a way of spreading in our lives, multiplying, and not only infecting us, but infecting others as well. And Paul warned about negative influences in 1 Corinthians 15:33. Listen to 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 6. He's talking about a man who's living in fornication. He's living with his father's wife. He said, "Your glorying is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump?" What will end up happening in the congregation? If this sin is tolerated, something as heinous as fornication, it's not going to be long where there's another sin that's going to be tolerated in the congregation. Besides fornication, there'll be others, and pretty soon there is nothing that is unacceptable. In the book of Galatians 5 and verse 9, same thought, only a different context. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. Matthew 16, verse 6, Jesus said, "Take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees." You need to beware of these people because they're going to influence you. The Pharisees are going to influence you to follow all their rules and regulations. The Sadducees are going to influence you with all their wealth, all their power, and you'll give in to them. 1 Corinthians 15:33, "Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits." A little leaven, a little influence. Oh, I'm not going to let those people influence me. But then you use the words they use. Well, I'm not going to let those people influence me. But then you go where they go. You do what they do. Yes, they can influence you. Finally, a little tongue. The tongue may be little, but it certainly is powerful. James and Solomon both address the influence of it. And literally, I could stop at this point and just say, let's take a whole lesson just on this one last thought. On the idea of a little tongue and what that little tongue can do. It is essential that I understand how powerful this tongue is, even though it's small, because if I don't use it correctly, I can do tremendous harm. James chapter 3, beginning with verse 4. He said, "Look also at ships. Although they are so large and driven by a fierce wind, they are turned by a very small rudder, wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles? And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set in our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature and is set on fire by hell." James is saying, look at that little tongue you've got. Look at the damage it can do. Just a few weeks ago, out in California, there was hundreds, perhaps thousands of acres burned. And they found out that a man started one of those fires. How big was the fire that he started? Just a small one. How big did it become? It covered tremendous amounts of space. Little fire, tremendous damage. One little tongue, one little smart saying, one person offended. All of a sudden now you know that this family's no longer attending services. Everybody is angry with one another, and now no one ever remembers what was said. They just now know they're angry. In Proverbs 18:21, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit." Death and life. In Matthew 12:35-37, Jesus said, "A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and the evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart, evil things. But I say to you that every idle word men may speak, they will give an account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Lord, you're going to judge me for those words? Yes. Every one of them. Every one of them. Catch those foxes, because they're spoiling the vine. Let your speech be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. Take a little time to think about what you're going to say to someone. I have to learn to take care of little things, because the consequences can be so big. And that's what the lesson is there from Song of Solomon chapter 2. It's catch the foxes, the little foxes, that spoil the vines because the grapes are tender. I didn't even deal with the fact that the grapes are tender. But we have here among us just a wonderful group of young, tender grapes, young folks. And the little things that we do can either encourage them, help them, uplift them, or we can destroy them. What is your spiritual condition? What's the condition of your heart or of your vine? If you're not a Christian tonight, I can tell you there's no greater privilege that we could enjoy tonight than to witness a new child of God born into God's family. You do this by faith in Jesus Christ, repenting of your sins, confessing that faith, and being baptized. Everything is ready for you. The baptistry behind me is filled with warm water. There's garments for everyone that needs them. It's a choice that you need to make.